Today's lesson is going to be in the Panim book. We have various talks and insights from the Rebbe that were adapted. Simple Hebrew there. Everybody should be able to follow along. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Bein HaMitzarim, this time of the year, which is called Between the Strictures. Today is Shavuos B'Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz. There are many tragedies that happened to the Jewish people, specifically with regard to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. At least in the second Beis HaMikdash, this was the day that the walls were breached, and there's a dispute whether this is the same day that the walls were breached also in the first Beis HaMikdash. And from today onward, this begins a process that concludes only on Tisha B'Av, which is exactly 3 weeks later. It's called Bein HaMitzarim, Between the Strictures. And Nogu B'chol Tfutzis Yisrael on Peis Reish Mem Gimel, it is customary amongst virtually all Jewish communities, Likrei liyamei Bein HaMitzarim, to refer to these days between the strictures as Gimel Shavuos. In Yiddish, the drei Wochen, in English, the 3 weeks. In Ladino, I don't speak Ladino, but whatever it is, that's the custom, that's the way it is. Ach, b'divrei Razal, in the words of our sages, for example, if you would look in the Jerusalem Talmud, in the fourth chapter of Titus, and as well as many Midrashim, the language that's used for between the 17th day of Tammuz and the 9th day of Av is Chof Aleph Yom, 21 days. So just like we have the 9 days, we could have 21 days. And for some reason, we have not 21 days, but the common phraseology, 3 weeks. And so, the Rebbe asks a question that nobody ever asks. So why is that? Everything in Minhag Yisrael is meaningful. Why do we call it the Drei Wochen? Why do we call it the Gimel Shavuos? Why is it referred to as the 3 weeks? Why isn't it called the 21 days? Now, in the Tur, in Eir HaChaim, in the part of the codes of Jewish law that deal with everyday life, in Siman, number 551, the reason that's brought for the Avelus of the 3 weeks, and there's a certain halachic limitations on things we don't do during these 3 weeks. We begin to observe a period of mourning. That's why I call this class Good Morning, with an O and a U, not just an O. So over there, we talk about this idea of 3 weeks, and we say that Daniel, the prophet Daniel, fasted 3 weeks. And that's where we have this expression of Shlesha Shavuim. However, the Rebbe says that's a deichik. It's very difficult to suggest that's the reason of the meaning. Kanan kaimelon the avelus of Bein HaMitzarim, who beglal hamurois the churban habayis bein yudzayin beit tamuz v'tisha b'av, because we do not observe Daniel's mourning or Daniel's fasting. We observe the mourning that is related to the 17th day of Tammuz today, and Tisha B'av, which will be in exactly 3 weeks or 21 days. And furthermore, according to Rashi's commentary on Daniel, the meaning of 3 weeks, Gimel Shavuim, is actually not 3 weeks, but rather Gimel Shmitas Shanim, 21 years, three cycles, three agricultural cycles, and not 3 weeks or 21 days. So it's a stretch on every level to attribute the notion that we call this the 3 weeks to the Pasuk that speaks of in Daniel. So the Rebbe says that the possible answer will lie in the words of the Yalkut Shimoni, which is a Midrashic collection, on Yirmiyahu. In the beginning it says like this, Olo Ari Aryeh, a lion went up, B'mazel Aryeh, in the month of the lion, the Hechrivis Ariel, and he destroyed the lion. That's what the Pasuk says. So the Yalkut explains, Ola Aryeh, a lion went up, Ze Nebuchadnezzar. That refers to the evil general who led, or evil emperor who led his nation against us and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and murdered, according to the Gemara, millions of Yidden. The Hechriv Ariel, he destroyed Ariel. That refers, of course, to the Beis HaMikdash. Almanas, but this was all on condition. Sheyavei Aryeh, that another lion would come, v'yivna Ariel. Who is the other lion? Yovei Aryeh. Who is the lion will come? Azeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This refers to God. The Mazel Aryeh, in the month of Aryeh, or the zodiac of Aryeh, that refers to the month of Av, and v'hafachti evlam l'sasin, it is written that I will transform their mourning into joy. V'yivna Ariel, and Ariel will be rebuilt. Ariel is sometimes a euphemism or a nickname for Yerushalayim. Yivna Ariel means Boine Yerushalayim, the city of Jerusalem, will be rebuilt. Shepirush Pashtus Mashmois Haloshin. If we want to take this language, the syntax that's presented here, and I kind of understand it in a straightforward way. Ola Aryeh, a lion goes up. Hechrev Ariel destroys the base of Mikdash. Amanasri Yovei Aryeh, so that a lion will rise. V'yivna Ariel, and all of this, everything's a lion here. It's like lion, lion, lion. A lion comes, and the zodiac of lion destroys the lion, which means the Nebuchadnezzar, month of Av, base of Mikdash is destroyed. Yovei Aryeh, Kodesh Baruch Hu, in that same month, and the base of Mikdash is rebuilt. In other words, the point that's being played out to us is, Shekol Mataras Churban Habayis, the whole purpose of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Lehoisa Ela Bishvil, was only for, in the language of the Yalkut, Almanas, on condition, Binyan Hashlishi Sheyibana Ayde HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmi, so that the third Beis HaMikdash would actually be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we refer to Yavei Aryeh Nebuchadnezzar, which is the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, but ultimately the first Beis HaMikdash bleeds into the second Beis HaMikdash, and all of this will be a menas in order. Sheyavei Aryeh, when will the lion come to rebuild the third the Beis HaMikdash? That's not the second Beis HaMikdash that was built by people and was a pitiful remnant, a shadow of the first Beis HaMikdash, but rather we talk about the Bayis HaShlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, which would be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Almighty God Himself, as it says, Mikdash Adnai Koinu Yedecha, a Mikdash, a sanctuary of God. And it says that the Mikdash will come Mishuchlal, completed, it will come Min HaShemayim. Ubumokim Achan is Bayer. Elsewhere, the Rebbe says, he once explained, Shehu Al Derech Psak HaRamah, this follows along, falls on the lines of the halachic ruling of the Ramah, who says with regard to the destruction or breaking of a shul, of a Beis HaKnesses. And the simple halacha is De Asura. You're not allowed to break down the structure of a Beis HaKnesses. Afilu letzedech mitzvah. Even if you have a good reason for it, a mitzvah reason, some kind of positive, holy reason for doing this, you're still not allowed. Ela, only. Im kein oisa amanas livnes. The only possibility is that you do it in order to build. That's the only possibility. V'zehu, and this then is yesoid haheter. This is the foundation of the halachic loophole or permission kaviyachol, as if it were to say God needs permission. But we know God promises that He keeps the Shulchan Aruch too. Shakadosh Baruch Hu hiniach lahachriv es habayis. God could allow His Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed because ki eina b'derech hashchasa. It's not destruction, rather it's demolition. It's what we call stira. Amnas livnes. It's breaking or demolishing for the purpose of building. It's not just in a destructive fashion. When the demolition crew comes in, they are not coming to destroy. They are coming to create an empty space where something far grander can be rebuilt. So when Israel goes and destroys the house of a terrorist, so that's a good thing. These are monsters, and they have their house destroyed. Unfortunately, they're getting a salary from their quote-unquote democratic government that never gets elected, whatever, that's another story. But there is a concept of demolition for the sake of destruction. However, when we bring in a demolition crew, you have a developer comes in and he buys a piece of land, and the land is worth who knows what. You know, it's prices go through the roof. He's got an old structure there. He doesn't want to have an old structure. He wants to build something grand, something amazing. What does he do? Brings in a demolition crew, and the first thing you do is destroy the building that's there, remove the debris, and then once the land is cleared, this land, which sometimes downtown could be worth like $10 million an acre, then you build a building that's going to fully utilize the value of this particular location and harness the possibilities of this real estate. So the point is then that the demolition is actually part of the building. Who does the demolition? Who hires a demolition crew? The developer. That's part of the development. The demolition is not destructive. The demolition is constructive. Only it's constructive demolition. So, sha'oz ha'hi netzitza binyan mikri. Then the halacha becomes that this kind of destruction is actually called construction. It's not dismantling. It's building. It's a process of building. Ki kol ha'netzitza hikidei she'yir binyan yeseteiv menarishin. the whole purpose is being dismantled or demolished is so that something better could replace it. Sharak ba'ifen zeh is only in this, under these conditions, ein iser, that there's no prohibition, the leisasun kain, that you're not allowed to do this, because the Torah says when we come into Eretz Yisrael, they'll see high places that were built by the pagan idolaters to worship idols. What's our mitzvah? We have a mitzvah in the Torah to destroy those places. We're not supposed to leave in Eretz Yisrael all these idolatrous signs and structures. That's destructive. And then Hashem says, leisasun kain l'shem l'keichem. That's what you do to idolatry. Don't do that to your God. So the Torah clearly prohibits the breaking of a house of worship that's built for Hashem. So what would the only way something like that would be permitted? The only way? If it was being done in order for, not destructive purposes, but constructive purposes. It's the demolition that comes in to allow for fresh construction. Hashem calls them move on. Once we have this kind of rarefied and elevated perspective, it becomes understood. Sha'atechen apnimi, shal yimei ben hametzorim, that the inner rhythm and real deep meaning of these days, which is Binyan Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, is about building the third Beis Hamikdash. Shahuschal, when did the building of the third Beis Hamikdash commence? When did the beginning of the third Beis Hamikdash begin? Or what was the first act of building the third Beis Hamikdash? The answer is, it began nearly 2,000 years ago. That's when the Beis Hamikdash, the third Beis Hamikdash, began to be rebuilt. How? By removing the second Beis Hamikdash. And the second Beis Hamikdash can only be rebuilt after the first Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. So the process of demolition, constructive demolition, began actually on Tisha B'Av. Umahai Taima, and for this very reason, Karu Yisrael Liyamim Elu B'Shem Gimel Shavuos. The Rebbe suggests a Meridik Echidosh, which nobody ever suggested before. The reason that Yidden called this the Drei Vachen, the 3 weeks, or whatever else it works in any other language, we emphasize three, is Madgish Es Hamisper Shlishi. It emphasizes the number three, lahoydis lanu, to teach us, shekol tachlis tekufazu, that the whole point of this time, shel churban habayis, of destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, he kedei sheyibone habayis hashlishi. What we are doing now is not simply mourning and being miserable. The point of mourning is that we should miss the Beis Hamikdash. If we don't ask for a Beis Hamikdash, we don't yearn for a Beis Hamikdash, we don't miss a Beis Hamikdash, then chas v'shalom, we delay the process of receiving it. What we need to do during this time of the year is not just be miserable. God doesn't need miserable Jews. He's got enough of them. He don't need to be angry, frustrated, snarling, sad, depressed. Hashem wants us to be yearning for his Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, even the name of this time emphasizes that concept, that the Bayis HaShlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, will in Meretz Hashem be a Bayis Nitzchi, an everlasting home. Yiduah Masham Razal, as the sages tell us, the Gimel Bat HaMikdash at the three holy temples, Him Kenege, the first one corresponds to Avraham, the second one corresponds to Yitzchak, and the third and final Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Yaakov. The Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, will be a Bayis Nitzchi, an eternal home, which corresponds to Yaakov, who is called a har, was called a mountain, and the mountain is immutable. And this is the reason, my dear friends, that we emphasize the concept of three during this period of Bein HaMetzarim, not 21, but the emphasis on three to remind us that it's all about the third Beis HaMikdash.